Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parshas Noach, and the title of the shir tonight is Hashem's Change of Heart. So tonight we're going to look at the whole sequence of events following the end of the flood, where Noach comes out of the flood and Hashem decides to never bring that level of destruction upon humanity again. So we're going to look through the psukim inside, and there's a lot of questions, I think, that emerge from the psukim. So let's start with source number one. It's Bereishis Perches, and starts with Pasuk Yidches. And the story takes place right after the end of the Mabul. It says, Vayitze Noach, Uvanav Vishto, Unishevanav Ito. So once the Mabul stopped, and the Teva stopped, Noach and his children and his kids got out of the Teva. Kol Hachaya, Kol Aremes, V'chol Ov, Kol Rames Al Aretz, L'mishpucho Zehem, Yatzu Min HaTeva. So all the animals got off the Teva as well, after Noach and his children. Vayiven Noach Mizbeach Ladushem, Vaikach Mikol Beima Teoro, Mikol Ha'uf HaTehor, Vayal Olos Bamizbeach. So the first thing, or at least it seems that soon after Noach left the Teva, he decides to build a Mizbeach, an altar, and he takes from all the kosher animals, and all the animals, the kosher birds, and he brings Olos on the Mizbeach. He brings Korbanos, that are Olos, fully consumed on the Mizbeach. So Hashem, it says in the Pasuk that he smells this pleasant odor coming from the Korbanos of Noach, and he says to his heart that I'm no longer going to curse the land because of man, because man is his inclination is evil from his youth, and I'm not going to destroy mankind and the world, as I did by the Mabul. Od kol yemei ha'aretz zera v'katzir v'kor v'chol m'kayetz v'choref yom v'layla lo yishbosu. So all these seasons are going to continue, and there will be seed time and harvest time, and all the winter and summer, all the different seasons will continue as long as the earth endures. They'll never be destroyed. So the end of so really at this point in the Parsha, after Noach leaves the Teva, the Torah tells us that Noach builds a Mizbeach, and Hashem decides, after he smells the pleasant odor that from the Korbanos, that he's not going to bring another Mabul or destroy the world the way he did by the Mabul. So the questions, I think, are many. And Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the one that I bolded in the source sheet, there's a lot of questions. One is, what does it mean that Hashem said to his heart? So why does the Torah express that Hashem is speaking to his heart? Of course, we know, and we'll see from the Mefarshim that it's not literal. But if it's not literal, then why is the Torah presenting it as Vayomer Hashem El Libo? Why doesn't it just say Vayomer Hashem? So what does it mean El Libo? So that's the first question. But on a more basic level, the question is, why did Hashem decide not to bring any more future floods into, or future destruction, the same way he did by the Mabul, into the world? What was it about Noach's Korban? It says, Vayiven Noach Mizbeach, and he made korbanos. What was it about Noach's korban that, so to speak, and it doesn't mean literally, changed Hashem's heart? What changed from initially, from before he destroyed the world to after he destroyed the world? What is it about Noach's korban that changed his mind, or changed the hashgacha, that there would no longer be a Mabul, or the type of destruction that had occurred by the Mabul in the future? So those are the two questions that we're going to start with. The first question is, what does it mean El Libo, that Hashem spoke to his heart, and why does the Torah express it that way? And the second question is, what exactly changed here in the mind of Hashem, as the Pasuk presents it, that beforehand he decided to destroy the world because everybody was evil, and then now he's saying that this will never happen again? Why not? I mean, why isn't it possible that the world will be at the same state that it was pre-Mabul? And furthermore, what exactly changed here? That's the question. What changed Hashem, or changed the Hashgacha, as such that there would be no more destruction to the level of the Mabul, post-Mabul? So those are the questions. And then, if you look in source number two, if we go back in time to before the Mabul, the Psukim say something very similar. They're almost parallel to the Psukim after the Mabul, but they're slightly different. So if you look in source number two, Bereishis Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey, it says, Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as ha'adam ba'aretz v'chol yitzer machshavos libo rak ra kol ayom. So it says in Bereishis, before he destroyed the world with a Mabul, it says that he saw that humanity was completely corrupt, and it says all of man's thoughts were evil the whole day. And it says, Vayinachem Hashem ki asa es ha'adam ba'aretz vayis atzev alibo. And Hashem regretted the fact that he created man, and he was very saddened, and he was depressed. So again, we see, interestingly enough, before the Mabul, that the Torah depicts the decision to destroy the world as Vayitzat Sev El Libo, that he was speaking to his heart. So again, it's the same question as before. Why is it that in these two passages, Hashem speaks to his heart? And furthermore, if you look in the first pasuk, it says Vayar Ad Hashem Kiba Rabba Ra'asa Adam Ba'aretz V'chol Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Ra Kol Yom. First, he says that the people were completely morally corrupt, and all of their thoughts are Ra Kol Yom. And then it changes in Chav Aleph. It says at the end of Chav Aleph, it says Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Min Urav, that man's inclination is evil from his youth. So the question is, what changed? Was there a change in the nature of man? What exactly changed over here that Hashem, at one point in time, he maintained that the world was worthy of destruction because man was so corrupt, but then after the flood, how is it that there is this convincing argument, or at least the Korbanos, that changed Hashem's mind, and he looks at man differently as he did before the flood? How is he so certain that because of this, or at least after the flood, that they wouldn't have the same level of corruption as pre-flood? And so what exactly changed? And why exactly would Hashem not bring a flood in the future if the people were corrupt? So those are all the questions. So a lot of questions here. Let me just, I know I just presented them, but I want to, I guess, order them a little bit. But the first question is, Vayomer Alibo. Why, in these two sections, does it continuously say that Hashem is speaking to his heart? And the second question is, what exactly was this change from pre-Mabul to post-Mabul? And what does Noach's Korban have to do with the change? And did Hashem not know of the possibility of Ra Min Urav before the Mabul? Didn't Noach exist before the Mabul? Did Noach not bring Korbanos before the Mabul? So why is it that, let's say Noach did bring Korbanos before the Mabul, like Adam did, or Cain, or Hevel. So why isn't it that before the Mabul, Hashem said, I'm not going to bring a Mabul, because there exists a person like Noach, and the idea of Ra Min Urav. So what exactly is going on here? It's just bizarre that there's this change in attitude. Why is there a change in attitude? What changed? Was it a change in the nature of man? So what exactly is going on here? So those are all the questions. So why don't we start...
Are you saying...
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a little late start, but are you saying that the Korban was the cause of the change?
Yeah, because if you look in Chaf Aleph, in source number one, it says, Vayarachad Hashem es reach anichoach, Vayomar Hashem al libo, lo osif lekalel odes ha'adama, bavor adam, ki yitzhalev adam ra min urav, lo osif olda akosis kol chai kasher asisi. The beginning of the pasuk, Vayarachad Hashem es reach anichoach, it sounds like as a result of Noach's korban that Hashem smelled the odor from Noach's korban that he decided to not bring any floods in the future. So what is it about Noach's korban that has anything to do with this nature of man, this change in man? What was the change in man, and why is it that Hashem decided as a result of this korban that he's no longer going to bring a flood into the world? Because in theory, you would think that Noah existed pre-flood, and in theory, there would always be individuals that are depraved, and there might be one tzaddik, but if the world is depraved, why shouldn't Hashem be just and destroy the world the way he did by the Mabul? What exactly changed here? So that's my question. And what does that have to do with the Korban? Like, your question was, are we sure that this is a result of the Korban? But the pasuk seems to tie the Korban of Noah to this decision. So what is it about the Korban of Noah that changed Hashem, or that changed the Hashkacha? It sounds like in theory, it could have happened again, but because of the Korban of Noach, something changed fundamentally. So what exactly is that? So those are all the questions. So let's look at the Radak. We're going to do a lot of Radaks tonight. He's very clear on this area. And we're going to go back to the first, to Bereishis, to the end of Bereishis. And the Radak explains, he adds some interesting points here. And I guess we'll try to define each point, but there's one idea at the end of this year that I think will bring everything together. We'll answer the questions. But if you look at the Radak, source number 3, it says, Vayarad Hashem, Keben shi'igia ha'ketz, shenasam lahem me'av esrim shana, ra'a kilo hitivu ma'aseyam. So Hashem gave, pre-flood, Hashem gave humanity 120 years to shape up, aval, and he saw that they didn't. Aval hiriu osam, v'chol yom ha'yakashim mechaveru. They kept getting more evil, more corrupt, and each day was worse. Zeu sh'amar rak rakol ayom. So every day was worse, and they were evil more. Every day, their corruptness and their depravity got worse. Uperish the chol yetzer. So the explanation of the chol yetzer in the pasuk, which is in source number 2, it says v'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak rakol ayom. Mishnei yetzarim sheyesh belibo shel adam. So after the chet of Adam, there were two yetzers, two inclinations. Echad tov ve'echad ra. There's a good inclination and the evil inclination. Kulo haya lara, velo haya tov bahem. But even though the good inclination was present, it sounds like from the Radak that the issue was that the evil inclination, the part of man that causes him to be corrupt, to sin, was dominant, and the Yetzer HaTov had no strength, no power. It was as if it was non-existent. V'nikreis tavas machshavas halev Yetzer. So this is an interesting point. He says, why is it called a Yetzer, an inclination? We call it an inclination. L'fi shalev Yotzer u'po'al b'libo ha'inyanim heim l'tov v'hein l'royim l'hotziyam l'idei ma'isa. Because the heart of man is what creates, Yotzer is fashions, and creates an opportunity for all those thoughts in his mind to turn into action. So he says, so Yetzer comes from Yotzer, to fashion the ideas and the corrupt thoughts that cause man to act in a sinful manner. So even though Hashem gave him 120 years for them to do tshuva, really, it says, the Radak says, that Hashem knew they weren't going to do tshuva. Also Cain, so why did he give them 120 years? So one idea in the Radak that we'll see is throughout, and we'll answer one of our questions with, is that Hashem did this in order to demonstrate how man should act. So even though Hashem knew that the people before the flood wouldn't do tshuva, but he acted in a way where we can mimic his actions, and if somebody wrongs us, we should give them time, and perhaps they'll do tshuva in the future. So Hashem wanted to mirror, he wanted to demonstrate the proper way to act. V'hineh kel bara ulamo lios tov, o kulo o rubo. So Hashem created the world for good. V'im kulo ra lo yuchal lamod. If the world is evil, it cannot exist. Ki lo yivchar kel ki im betov. Hashem only will choose the good. V'hineh ra dor hamabo kulo ra, so the Dor HaMabul, they were so corrupt that their corruption was against the nature of the world, the design of the world. So he decided to destroy the world and leave the good, the only small good that was in it. And that was Noach. So he found this small good in Noach, and he decided to destroy all Ra. V'chein banav im nishosein k'dei l'kayim zera. So in order that they have offspring. V'lemech aviv kvar meis chameis shanem l'fnei amabul. So Lemech, his father, died. U'mishushalach shamush nosa bevoha mabul meis. So Mishushalach also died before the mabul. Ki chameis shanem chai achar Lemech beno. He lived 5 extra years after Lemech. He ne lo nishar tzadik be'olam elo Noach u'banav. So Noach and Banav were the only tzadikim at that time. Okay, so there's 2 points that I just want to highlight in the Radak. And we'll use these points when we define the final point, which was the change in the nature of this Hashgacha towards humanity. But the 2 points I wanted to demonstrate in the Radak is that the Radak's saying 2 things. One is that really what was going on by pre-Mabul, he says that there's 2 Yetzers. There's a Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. And it sounds like what he's saying is that the Yetzer HaTov had no expression, had no strength. Even though it existed after the Chet of Adam, the Yetzer Hara was dominant. And it seems like that's the pshat of the Pasuk. And the Radak's giving the pshat. It says, V'chol Yetzer machshivos libo rak ra kol yom. It sounds like Dor HaMabul, the Yetzer HaTov had no impact on man's actions. It was just the Yetzer Hara that was more forceful, more dominant. And that's what it means, V'chol Yetzer machshivos libo rak ra kol yom. So the first idea is that pre-Mabul, and this will be important when we define post-Mabul, that pre-Mabul, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov both existed, but the Yetzer HaTov was completely inferior to the Yetzer HaRa. The Yetzer HaRa was dominant over the Yetzer HaTov, except by Noach, a special individual who had the capability of allowing his Yetzer HaTov to be somewhat present. But the rest of humanity, their Yetzer HaTov was dormant, and their Yetzer HaRa, their evil inclination, the emotions that cause man to do evil, was more dominant. So that's the first point. And the second point in the Radak is that Hashem, he knew, this is an interesting point, and we'll get to how this fits in to our questions, but he knew that they weren't going to do tshuva. But he did it, he gave him 120 years, in order to demonstrate how man should act vis-a-vis other people. Humanity should act towards other people, and we should always give man an opportunity to do tshuva, even though Hashem knows the future, and he knows that the people won't do tshuva. And that's a whole question in free will, but we're not going to get into that. But basically he's saying that is for man. Okay, fine. And in source number 4, what's interesting, just to add to our questions, is it says in the Gemara, Kol Hayom, which is pre-Mabo. Amar Yitzchak, Yitzro Shel Adam Misgaber Alav B'chol Yom. Shenamar V'chol Yitzro Machshavos Libo Rak Ra Kol Hayom. It says in the Gemara, in Sukkah, that man's evil nature dominates him every day. It's Misgaber Alav B'chol Yom. As it says, pre-Mabo V'chol Yitzro Machshavos Libo Rak Ra Kol Hayom. So this adds to our question, because it seems like in Parshas Noach, there was a change in the nature of man. But the Gemara is telling us that the nature of man is the same as pre-Mabel, or there's elements of pre-Mabel that still exist. So we also have to explain that if man changed, so what is this Gemara teaching us that the nature of man is really the same as pre-Mabel? So the Torah Tmima changes the Lashon a little bit, but it's still interesting that the Gemara is learning out this principle, this true principle, even Bizman Azeh, from pre-Mabel. So it sounds like whatever existed pre-Mabel still exists, and the nature of man still exists Bizman Azeh. But that's a question, because it sounds like there was a change. So what exactly was the change? But if you look in the Torah Tmima,
I have a question.
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
If the nature of man was such, you know, pre-Mabel, that it was mostly pretty much his Yekah Hara was dominant.
Yeah.
So did he really have a choice? In other words, is it really his fault? Like, he's getting punished for a state that he really had no control over.
No, it sounds like that's a good question. It sounds like he still had free will in this situation, but the deck was stacked against man. It's hard to define that. It's a good question, but it sounds like man still had free choice, because obviously you can't be punished for something that's out of your control. But it sounds like what he's saying is that the deck was stacked against man in that situation. So we'll see. So we'll go through this year. You'll see at the end how it changed. But yeah, we'll come back to that. It's a good question. Excellent question. But now we're up to... So now just to add to the questions, like I said, the Torah Tmima brings down this Gemara in Sukkah, which sounds like whatever existed pre-Mabel exists Bizman Azeh. So that adds to the questions that we had, which is that we're assuming that post-Mabel, something changed in the nature of man. The Pasuk changes. It says... That sounds like a differentiation from the Chol Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Ra Kol Hayom. So how is it that Bizman Azeh, we still have pre-Mabel, when it sounds like from the Psukim and Noach that it changed? So what exactly was the change, and how do we still have what existed pre-Mabel? So if you look in the Torah Tmima, he says, Uvikidushin, this is interesting, he says, Uvikidushin, Lamad Amad Alef, Ve'od Ba'gados Shonos, Hagir Saba Makom Miskaber Lav Mischadesh Alav. So he says that another girsa is not misgaber, it's not that it overruns man, but it's mischadesh, that there's newness to it. V'hi girsa nechona, this is a good girsa. De'efshar lefarish hakavana she'yitzer hara yasser kol yom v'yom lechadashos, litbos al yadan es ha'adam b'chermo. So he says that it should be mischadesh, not misgaber love. So that kind of changes the idea, the concept here. It's not exactly similar to ra kol hayom, but he's saying it means mischadesh, which means that it ensnares man every day with new opportunities to sin. V'samech zeh lashon rak ra kol yom demashma shekol yom niris bo rak ra. Every day it appears to him as evil, as like a new evil. V'hainu ra'ah chadasha she'esmo lo haisa niris v'atahi chadasha. So he wants to change the gear, so he says there's a change in the gear, so it's not misgaber alav. Misgaber alav would be identical to pre-Mabel. But instead, he says it's not misgaber alav. It doesn't overcome man, but it's mischadish alav. That it's newness. There's a newness to the yetzer hara on a daily basis. But still the same question as before. There's still some limud from the nature of man pre-Mabel that exists bizman azeh that we can learn from it. So what is that idea? What is that concept that still exists? Okay. So one more point, number 6 in the Radak and the Ramban, and then we'll answer one of our questions. So if we look at the Radak in source number 6. It says, Vayinachem ad Hashem. So what does it mean that he regretted it? It says, Masha Amar Vayinachem, Dibra Torah B'Lashon B'nei Adam. So he says that the Torah speaks in the Lashon, in the language of man. Ki al derech emes lav Adam hu linachem, ki ein shino echafetz bo yisparach v'yisaleh. So critical idea, that Hashem doesn't change, he doesn't regret, and he's not like humanity, but rather the Torah speaks to us, to mankind, for us to learn from him. Same thing. Zehu gam kein derech mashal. This is also an analogy. Ki ein lefanav al derech emes lo simcha v'lo itzvon v'lo yishtanem emida lemida. Hashem does not have emotions, and he doesn't change from one emotion to another. He's not happy or sad. V'hefech mi v'yis'atzev yismach ad Hashem v'masov. And you see in Tehillim, it says that Hashem is happy with his work. V'akol derech mashal. All these psukim that talk about Hashem's emotions, they're all analogies. Ki kamosha adam sameach al adavar hayashar be'enav, just like man is happy, v'yis'atzev al adavar ra be'enav, and man is sad, when something is bad occurs that's negative. Kin haya sipor al kelis barach v'hu al derech ha'avara. The same thing is trying to be conveyed about Hashem. V'asimcha ha'itzvon ba'adam believe, and man's emotions, we say, are occur in his heart. L'fichach amar derech mashal al kelis barach el libo. That's why the Torah says el libo. It's trying to teach us, or it's trying to convey to us in B'lashon v'nei Adam. U'v'vrishis Rabbah, this is a famous medrash, goy echad shalas Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. So this guy asked Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Amar le inatem omrim shakadosh baruch hu roas hanolad. Do Jews not maintain that Hashem sees the future? Amar le hein. So he said, yes, of course. Amar le, the guy said, v'aksiv v'inachem v'yisatze v'alibo, that Hashem regretted that he had created and he was depressed about it. Amar le, nolad l'cha ben zachar miyamecha. So he changed, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha asked the guy, did you ever have a male child? Amar le, hein, he said, yes. Amar le, ma'asisa, what did you do when you had the child? Amar le, samachti v'simachti. I was happy, and I made a big party, and I made other people happy. So Amar le, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha said to the guy, v'halo ha'yisa yodeh shesofo lamas, did you not know that at some point in this child's existence he would die in the future, meaning nobody lives forever? So Amar le, v'shas chedva, v'shas evla. So he said that when you're happy, when in happy times you're supposed to be happy, and in sad times you're supposed to be sad. Almost like the ideas that you're supposed to be in the moment, and you're not, even though you know the reality of the future, that shouldn't affect the emotions of the present. So Amar le, kach ma'asel lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, same thing by Hashem. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, so this is, he says, Yeshua ben Levi said, Shivas yamin nis'abel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al olamo. Hashem was in Avelus, he was in mourning 7 days before his world. Kodem Shehevi Amabo La'olam, before he brought the flood, he was in mourning. Shenamar Vahila Shivas Umea Babu Haya, for 7 days. There were 7 days and the Mea Babu was on the earth. Uma Tama is Atzev Alibo, Vein Atziva El Avelus. Atziva means mourning. Kamadat Omar Kinetzav Amelcha Beno. Uma Sha'amar Ba'aretz, what he says by the Aretz, that man was created from the land. That man was following his binyan gufa, the way that he was created from the ground. Shuhu kulo artsi, which is all my land. Velochein demus adam, but the nature of man, the neshama hal yoni shuhu bitzal melokim, he wasn't following. Lefichach lo nicham al noach v'al kiyotzebo. That's why he didn't regret creating Noach. Because Noach was in line with his Tzelem Elokim, he wasn't in line with his guf, with his physical. So what does the Radak say? Just one point here. The main point of this Radak I wanted to bring out, which answers one question, is what does it mean by Yisatzev Elibo? And the Radak points this out in source number 3 as well. It sounds like that it was important in pre-Mabul and post-Mabul that it speak B'lashon B'nei Adam. So why is it always speaking B'lashon B'nei Adam? Why does the Torah have to convey to us that Hashem was sad, that he was happy, that he changed his mind? So I think, according to the Radak, what he's saying is that in these matters, man shouldn't think that Hashem is cruel, that he shouldn't think that God is an achzari, that he's cruel, and that he doesn't think or that there's no consideration for humanity in the decisions, in the hashgacha. Because without this pasuk, without these psukim, so man could potentially think that these decisions or this hashgacha was almost, in man's mind, cruel and quick, and it wasn't thought out. So the idea of the psukim, I believe the Radak saying, because he says it in many places. He says in source number 3 that he gave them 120 years, not because he knew that they weren't going to do tshuva, but he wanted to demonstrate to man how man should act. And so too, it says va'yisatzav alibo. He says openly that's not true. In reality, Hashem doesn't have emotions; he doesn't have a lev, but he's acting the way, or he's demonstrating the Torah is demonstrating in action the way man would act. So why is this relevant? Because man should not sense or should not think or believe that Hashem is ra, that he's cruel, that he's acting in an unjust manner. But he should see that there is contemplation. It says, Vayitzatzev elibo, that man should not, the idea is to take away the concept or the possibility that man would think that there was an injustice here, that God is cruel. That man shouldn't think that God is cruel. So the Torah is presenting this, B'lashon B'nei Adam, because it doesn't want, I believe, it doesn't want man to have a flawed idea of Hashem, that a flawed idea that Hashem is cruel. But the Torah wants man to understand that these decisions, the Hashgacha, is really just, and that man should look at this objectively and not view this as a cruel act on the part of Hashem. So I think that's Vayitzatzev Elibo. That's why the Torah, in both situations, pre-Mabul and post-Mabul, are demonstrating or speaking in Lashon Bnei Adam, because they're trying to show man that these decisions are not emotional, they're not quick decisions, they're not decisions that are come out of cruelty. In fact, the pasuk says Vaisatze Velibo, that he was, and the Medrash says that he mourned. So obviously he didn't mourn in reality, but it's so that man doesn't think or doesn't believe that there was no consideration for humanity, that this was done in a quick and cruel manner. So the Torah has to speak B'lashon Bnei Adam in order to cut off that possibility, to cut off that flawed idea of Hashem. So that's what I think. That's what I think the Radak is getting at. And that's why in both pre-flood and post-flood, it says Vayis'atzev or Vayomer Alibo. It's teaching you that it's teaching you the concept in the eyes of man, B'lashon Bnei Adam, so that man not have a distorted idea of Hashem in this situation. So I think the Ramban in source number 7 says one other thing, and then we'll get to the post-mabul. So the Ramban says in source number 7, Vayinachem Hashem, Vayis'atzev Elibo, Dibra Torah Kalashim Bnei Adam. So he says, similar to the Radak, that the Torah is speaking Kalashim Bnei Adam, Va'inyon ki maru v'atzvu es ruach kacho b'fisham. So the idea is that the ruach kacho, the spirit, the Holy Spirit of Hashem, was really bitter and was saddened by their avonos. The inyan el libo, this is a different idea. El libo ki lo higid ze lenavi shloach aleihem. He didn't tell any navi this idea, this concept that was sent to them, even though they knew that the mabul was going to occur by Noach, but they didn't know this idea, this concept. That's why it says vayisatzev el libo v'chein alashon v'mechushav kiderech ledaber el libi. It means it was a secret. So I think the Ramban is saying a different idea. Vayinachem el libo is that there's certain knowledge that man can't really comprehend, and the knowledge of the justice behind the destruction of the world, and even after the fact, the mabul, the inner working or the depth of the analysis there is something that man can't comprehend fully. We know that there was some idea there. There was an idea of Ashgacha that existed to destroy the world, but we can't really fully comprehend to the depths of analysis this justice. So I think Vayis'atzev Elibo, according to the Ramban, is different than Radak. Vayis'atzev Elibo is teaching us that this knowledge was hidden. That even though we know the general klal, that Vayis'atzev Elibo, because the Torah tells us, and we know there's something deep going on here in terms of the knowledge of God, but man can't fully comprehend that knowledge. So that's what it means. It wasn't given over to man. It was elibo. It was secret. It was hidden. It was left to God. So I think that there's two different approaches before we move on to the more basic idea. The two different approaches as to why the Torah is using elibo and vayomer elibo, vayisatzev elibo. So the two approaches are the Radak is saying that it's an idea that man shouldn't harbor ill will towards Hashem, shouldn't have a distorted idea of justice, of Hashem's justice. And the Ramban's idea is Elibo is teaching us that when there's a certain knowledge that man can't fully comprehend or grasp, so that's what the Torah is teaching us about Elibo. That the knowledge, the full extent of the knowledge as to why or the decision to destroy the world, man can't grasp fully. So therefore, Elibo wasn't given over to the people, that idea, the concepts, fully. So that's the other idea in the Ramban. Okay, but let's move on. So the second question, or the main question, is what changed after the mabul? So we saw from the Radak earlier, just as the basic background, that the Radak is saying that the Yetzer Hara was dominant and the Yetzer HaTov existed. The Yetzer HaTov, I don't think, is man's mind. I think the Yetzer HaTov is that they're opposing emotional forces that help man do good. There are some benefits to the emotions in terms of helping keep man astray and keep him on the straight path. So the Yetzer HaTov was dormant. So now the Radak says, what happened after the mabul? It says that Noach created a mizbeach and he brought korbanos. And then after that, it says Vayarach Hashem es reach nichoach. Hashem smelled the good odor of the korban and he decided that he was never going to bring a mabul or any type of destruction to that level. So the question we had was, why not? What changed in man, and was Noach any different pre-flood, post-flood? What exactly changed in the nature of man? So Radak says, we'll go back to the Radak in source number 8. It says, "Va'even Noach, but also makom shiyatzu bo, the place that he left the teva, he built him his beach. O efshar shiyatzu bahari ararat makom shenacha teva, or maybe he got out on Har Ararat where the teva stopped. The efshar shenis rababa hateva me al hari ararat al makom shetachas harim, or it could be that it slid down." The teva slid down. The halcha opnei amayim l'makom acher. It went to another place through the rivers and the tributaries Oh, afilu yatosham Noach, or even if Noach got out there, biyavosh haaretz halach lo lamakom acher lashevesham. He basically went to a dry place to set up shop and dwell. Uvanasham mizbeach, and that's where he set up the mizbeach. Uvidrash. So in the drash and the medrash, it says ki al mizbeach hagadol should be Yerushalayim. Omar, it's talking about the mizbeach in Yerushalayim. Visham hikriv adam harishon korbano shenamar vatite vladashem mishor par mikarin mafris. So the drasha is that he was makriv on the mizbeach in the same spot in the same mizbeach that Adam was makriv, and that was the mizbeach in Yerushalayim. So we have to answer that. What kind of idea is that? Is that, how does that tie into this change and this change in hashgacha that there is not going to be any flood? So we're going to try to answer that question. What does it mean that it was on the mizbeach gadol shebi Yerushalayim? And then keep going in the radak. Vayikach mikol beima tahora v'chaya tahor v'chlal ki mikol tahorim hikriv. So he used all the kosher animals. V'zebetam hodah lakel. So why did he bring a korban? So he brought a korban to give hodah, to give thanks to God. Shahitzilam shlomesu b'mabel. It's a korban todah for being saved. Aval hatmeya ina ru'uya l'korban. He couldn't bring the animals that were tmeya, that weren't kosher, because they're not ru'uya l'korban. Ki af l'machal adam ina ru'uya ela mitocha d'chak k'moshe pirashnu kol shechein l'korban akel. So you're not allowed to eat non-kosher animals, only mitocha d'chak. So of course you can't bring it as a korban. So that's the what's interesting is he's saying that Noach, the nature of this korban is that it was a korban toda, that after being saved, and there's even a halacha like this, we bench gomel, but there's a halacha that you're supposed to bring a korban toda in the times of the mikdash after you're saved from a dangerous event. Vayal olos b'mizbeach. V'yesh machlokes b'drazal im hikriv olos levad o gam shlomim ima olos. There's a machlokes in the Gemara whether Noach was makir of an olos alone, olos, or olos with shlomim. Olos are korbanos that are fully burnt up and consumed on the mizbeach, and shlomim are korbanos that were eaten by man, by kohanim, and also some of it was consumed. So what's interesting about this, we're going to answer all these questions hopefully, but what's interesting is that a korban todah is typically a shlomim, but over here, the Torah is saying he was makir of olos, and there's a machlokas whether he brought shlomim with the olos, but it seems like the primary korban was an ola, which is, ola is kulo la Hashem. The whole korban is given to Hashem, given on the mizbeach, and no part of the korban is eaten by man. So it's interesting that on the one hand, Noach was bringing a korban toda, which is typically a shlomim, but the Torah says that he brought an olos, that he was makir of olos, which are korbanos that are not typical for a toda. They're typical for to demonstrate kulul Hashem, a different idea. So why does the Torah teach us that or what's the nature of this korban? That obviously it's vayarach Hashem esreach nichach, that it was an ola and it wasn't shlomim. If it was a toda, a korban toda, it should have been a shlomim. It shouldn't have been an ola. So that's one a key question. Okay. All right. So we're getting to the idea, the main idea, the highlight. So if you look in source number 10, just one more set of redox, and then we're going to skip Rashi. It just says what the idea of Minu'urav means and the change in the Lashon. Let's just do that first Rashi. Source number 9, he says, Minu'urav ksiv, mishaninar latzeis me'imo nitan bo yitahara. So it's missing a vav. Minu'urav should have a vav after the ayin. The fact that it's missing an ay, a vav, it's teaching you that man's inclination, his nature, is such that when he stirs, even in his mother's womb, the Yetzer Hara is implanted in man. Okay, so it's early on, it's youth. For man's youth, he has a Yetzer Hara. So what exactly was the change? It's the same question as before. It says, Kol Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Ra Kol Yom Pri Mabel. Then it says, Ki Yetzer Adam Ra Menu'urav, after the Mabel. So why was that a reason for Hashem to not bring any more floods? Okay, so the Radak says, again, in source number 10, he says, "Vayarch dibra Torah b'lashem b'nei adam v'derech mashalu k'mosh amar ha'ochel basar evirim shekibla baratzon v'arvola." So it's the same idea. It's speaking b'lashon adam, similar idea that we said before. And then look in source. Look, go down. Vayomer Hashem el libo. He says, "Ra'ah b'sichlo shelo yashches odes ha'adama." So Hashem saw with his omniscience that in the future there would never be this type of destruction. Kiloye od ra'im rabim. There would never be this corruption, this level of corruption. V'yasuru midor hamabel shehiya kabbalah biyadam dor achar dor v'loye od rabim ra'im v'lo yashchis haklal b'avor haprat. So he knew that after the dor hamabel there would never be a whole generation that had the level of corruption pre mabel, and he was never going to destroy everyone because of the individuals, the prat. And if individuals were evil, so he would just destroy the individuals. So the change in Ashgacha was that Hashem would no longer destroy humanity because there were a few people that were evil, but rather he would just focus the Ashgacha on the evil people. And it says, "Bavur Adam ki yasufu aram b'vnei Adam v'tamur Adam l'tovim v'tishaches k'tas Adam imaram k'mo eretz sedom shenish chasa imanashel." Even if some of the land was destroyed, it was only enough that people would know that it was localized. Ein bat hashchasas Adama imaat min Adama tishaches k'mo ari akikar v'yachshvu k'mo mekomos hanishkaim heim banasham. So people will realize in future destruction that the destruction is limited to those who are evil, but there'll never be a destruction to mankind in the same way that the Mabul, the same destruction of the Mabul. So same question. So what's the answer here? So the question is, what does Noach's Korban have to do with this change? What was the change in Ashgacha? What exactly is going on here? So I want to try an approach. And it's based on the Ramban and the Rakanti. Rakanti was one of the Rishonim in source number 11. And he says like this, "Va'even Noach mizbeach l'Hashem, korbano shel Noach gamu haya korban toda." So he says the same thing as the Radak, that the korban that Noach brought was a korban toda, which is typically a shlamim. Kemosh amar Razal, v'pirkei Rabbi Elazar, yashav Noach v'darash v'amar kadosh baruch hu hatzilenu min mei hamabul v'yotzeinu min hamisgar zeh. So Noach was doresh, he learned out that Hashem saved me from this mabul, this situation, and he chayav l'hakriv lo korban, and as a result, I have to bring him a korban as a thank you. Ma'asa Noach, what did he do? Lokach mina behema ta'ora shnaim mina ofo shnaim. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Pashat yado v'nishba l'noach shel lahavir me'amabul olam. So as a result of Noach's korban, Hashem put his hand forth and he made a shvua that he was never going to bring a mabul to the world. V'nosan os b'kashas b'shvua l'olam la'ad. And he brought this os, this sign, through the rainbow that the shvua would last forever. Uva Amro, Vayivin Noach Mizbeach Larashem, Remez Inyan Gadol. There's a great hint here. Shramzu Razal. Ki bavur cheto shel Adam, nistalik shchino min atachtonim. So he says, because of Adam's chet, so the shchino was removed from the world. Ba Shes Vehorida, when Shes was born, Shes the son of Adam was born, it came back down. Ba Enosh Vesilka, when Enosh existed, he removed the shchino. Ve'ata ba'noach ve'horida ve'hizmin la'makom l'mata. So Noach came and he created a makom l'mata for the Shechina. Ka'omro va'yiven Noach mizbeach l'Hashem. So he was kovea a makom for the Shechina by the mizbeach that he built. Veda ki akorban mekarev ratzon ha'shafel umiyachto mekarvo ratzon ha'elyon. So what does a korban do? It ties in the ratzon, the will of man, and it ties it into the will of God. There's a unification of the two. The makriv kosher nafsho benefesh korbano. He whose makriv ties his nefesh, his soul, to the nefesh of the korban. Umale alav hakasov kiilu hikriv nafsho. And it's as if you're a makriv, you sacrificed yourself. So the Rakanti is highlighting this idea, this famous idea. I think the Ramban also holds this, that the idea of a korban is that a person is really tying his own identity to the korban, identifying with the korban. That's why we do smicha. And what he's doing with the korban is, when he's makriv it, it's as if he's giving up of himself. And the korban is the way he identifies with that concept, with the concept of giving up your life, giving up your whole self to God. And that's what the idea of korban is, specifically after chet, but also in general. Korban is a demonstration of man's willingness to give up of his own life to serve God and for God. And if you look in the Ramban, and then we'll get to the idea. The Ramban says, "Ki yitzir lev ha'adam ra min ne'urav, milamed aleihem schus, she yitzirasam betolda ra b'mei ha'ne'urim." So he was milamed a schus, Hashem was milamed schus, that in man's youth, his yitzir ra is strong, v'lo b'mei ha'zikna, but when he gets older, it's not. V'im kein, ein l'hakos es kol chai b'pnei shnei ha'ta'amim ma'ela. And if that's the case, so man shouldn't be destroyed for these two reasons. So what exactly is this idea? What is the concept here? So I want to try a possibility. Perhaps the possibility is that before the Mabul, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov existed, but the Yetzer Tov seemed to be dormant. It didn't have any strength to it. And I'm defining the Yetzer Tov as emotions that man has to keep him on the straight path. I guess one might be guilt, or sometimes guilt would help a person, regret. Some emotions help keep man in line with God's will, and some emotions take man away from God's will. So I'm saying the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov are emotions that either hinder man's perfection or help man's perfection. And it seems like before the Mabul, that man's Yetzer Hara was dominant, was more forceful than the Yetzer HaTov. But it sounds like, or it seems like, that Noach did something, I think, to bolster the Yetzer HaTov. And what is that idea? So the idea that bolsters the Yetzer HaTov is the concept of man reflecting on his own mortality. Meaning, after the Mabul, which was, I've given Shiram in the past, but after the Mabul, it was very troublesome to Noach that he saw, that he witnessed destruction. And the idea of giving thanks for being saved, it forces man to contemplate his own mortality, to contemplate his own life. And man's mortality is a strong, and the idea that we know that we're going to die is a strong, powerful force in keeping man from being completely corrupt. And in man's youth, like the Ramban says, ki yetzer lev adam ra menurav, in man's youth, man doesn't think about his own mortality. When you're younger, you don't think about your death, but as you get older, your Yetzer Hara is weakened by the fact that your mortality, your thoughts of your own death seem to weaken, or seem to be emotions that weaken the strength and the power of the Yetzer Hara. So Noach did something that to strengthen the Yetzer HaTov. He did an action, the act of bringing a korban and sacrificing to Hashem after being almost being destroyed was a demonstration and I guess a centralization of the concept of man reflecting on his mortality. And man's reflection on his own mortality is a way to strengthen the Yetzer HaTov, to give the Yetzer HaTov some way to combat the strength and the force of the Yetzer Hara. So even though the Yetzer Hara still exists, Bizman HaZeh, it's not V'chol Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Ra Kol Yom. So I want to say that it's not, I don't know if there's a change in the nature of man, or Noach did an action to change or to help centralize or emphasize the idea that man's mortality can be a force that can help man stay in line with God's will. And the idea of Korban is that concept, especially after Korban Todah. Korban Todah is that once you're saved from a dangerous situation, you're really supposed to reflect on the idea that you could have died and you're thankful for your life. And bringing a Korban in itself, especially in Ola is Kul Hashem, is really an idea of identifying with a Korban and with the concept that you accept your own death, the potential of your own death, and you're accepting of it. But that idea, the concept of man reflecting on his own death, is really a concept that keeps man, or it helps, it strengthens the Yetzer HaTov. It strengthens the idea that that man stay in line with God's will, and it gives strength to a once dormant Yetzer HaTov. So I want to say that I think Noach's actions changed the Hashkacha, because he demonstrated, and I guess I would say that this idea would continue on in humanity, because Noach, we know that psychological features of leaders tend to pass on generations after, and there's a psyche to a nation, there's a psyche to different religions. So perhaps Noach and Noach's decision to demonstrate and reflect on his own mortality and demonstrate that man's mortality can be a function to help man stay in line with reality, stay in line with God's will, and that was demonstrated through the Korban, perhaps that was now going to be a fixture in humanity, and that's why there was a change here. That's why the Hashkacha changed, and there would never be, that's like the Radak says, there would never be a generation where corruption would be to the level of pre-Mabul. So I think that's the change in the nature of man, pre-Mabul to post-Mabul. So let me just summarize the shir, because maybe a difficult idea. But really, the shir was just focusing on two main ideas, ultimately. One is the Lashon of the Torah, pre-Mabul, post-Mabul. Why does the Torah use the Lashon of Vayisatzev Elibo? Why does it keep saying Elibo? So the first concept is the Radak. I think the Radak is saying that it's trying to teach man, it's all for man. And so it's that man not think that the decision of the Hashkacha to destroy the world was cruel, that we should understand that there was contemplation in, even though we don't understand, fully grasp that concept of contemplation, but we should recognize that there was no cruelty there. It was not God acting wickedly towards mankind. And the second idea was the Ramban. The Ramban was saying that the idea of Yisatzev Elibo is that the knowledge is a secret. It wasn't given to man. And the knowledge is knowledge that can't be comprehended fully by man. But then we try to answer this, the main question, which was, what was the change in man, pre-Mabul, post-Mabul, and what does Noach's Korban have to do with it? So I wanted to say that pre-Mabul, like the Radak says, the Yetzer Hara was dominant. It sounds like the Yetzer HaTov, which I'm defining as the nature, the emotions of man that help man stay in line with reality and not given to the Yetzer Hara, were dormant. in the time of in the time pre-Mabul. And even though death existed back then, it seems like the Yetzer HaTov had no strength. It had no power. But the emotions of the Yetzer HaRa were more powerful. So pre-Mabul, that was the nature of man. But post-Mabul, what Noach did by bringing a korban is that he centralized the concept of reflecting on your own mortality and how that concept could really keep man in line with reality and help the Yetzer HaTov. It almost strengthened the Yetzer HaTov so that man now had a more fair fight in living in line with reality. So I believe that that's the concept here that the Radak is pointing to, and also the Ramban and Rakanti. They're saying that Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Minu'urav means that in man's youth, man's Yetzer HaRa is dominant. But as man gets older and he gets closer to death, so his Yetzer HaTov, his Yetzer HaRa becomes weakened. But I think the idea of Zikna is that when you start getting older, you start reflecting more on your own death. And that allows man and checks man's emotions and checks man's sinning ways. So the idea that Rakanti, the Ramban, and the Radak are all pointing to, in my opinion, is that Noach's decision to reflect on his own mortality and be koveya a mizbeach that would really highlight this and that would emphasize man's ability to tie into his own mortality and use that for the good. So that was really the idea that changed the hashkacha towards humanity as a whole. And that's how God knew that in the future, that's the idea that in the future, like the Ramban says, there would never be a door like Dor HaMabul, because once Noach did this, so he changed the nature of man, the psyche of man. Now the psyche of man is such that man's mortality becomes a more central element to man's life. And it becomes impossible for the Yetzer HaRa to be as dominant as it did pre-Mabul. All right, so that's the shiur tonight. All right, anybody have any questions? All right, thank you. Have a good Shabbos. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.